WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A group of Democrats tried to get into the Department of Education this morning in Washington. They found the doors locked. That department, the latest target of DOGE, Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. President Trump and Musk's buyout offer to about 2 million federal employees put on hold until at least Monday by a federal judge. Health experts say there's little risk to the public, but bird flu has been detected in New York City.
After inspectors found 7 cases of bird flu at live poultry markets in New York City in the last week, Governor Kathy Hochul announced,
"We're issuing a notice and order to temporarily shut down all live bird markets in New York City, as well as in Westchester, Nassau, and Suffolk counties."
The order lasts for 1 week, and all markets will require a state inspection before they're allowed to reopen. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Super Bowl this weekend could set records for gambling as more states legalize sports betting. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Over the last few months, we've talked a lot about shared revenue. That's the money that cities, towns, and villages are allowed to collect, and it's restricted by the state government. Many of these municipalities say they're not getting enough to sustain their services, especially if they're growing. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway was consistent in her messaging as voters were set to decide on a $22 million referendum to keep the city moving in the fall. She said a large part of this problem is the lack of adequate funding from the state government in amounts that are set by the legislature. Laws passed by Republicans limit the amount of taxes cities, towns, and villages are able to collect. Well, the city of Madison is shifting gears, as reported by the Wisconsin State Journal. After the city of Madison's last state lobbyist made a career change, it was time to find a new one. City staff plan to hire Republican-led firm The Welch Group to lobby the state government. The goal would be to get them to increase funding for municipalities statewide, including, of course, Madison, Wisconsin's fastest-growing city. On top of the state revenue issues, over the last few weeks, federal funding is a question mark. The city of Madison gets, on average, $45 million from the federal government each year. And Wisconsin winters are getting warmer. It's not just anecdotal. It's impacting winter industries, especially up north. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot reports.
A recent report from WICCI says that northern parts of Wisconsin are projected to warm, particularly winter nights, and much more than southern Wisconsin. Climate models predict that the number of skiable days will continue to decline, and the ski season is projected to be reduced from 5 to approximately 3 months. This is because the warmer nights will produce more rain and freezing rain events. But research shows that snowmaking and other adaption techniques can improve the viability of downhill skiing operations.
More skiing hills across Wisconsin are ramping up their efforts to make their own snow. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
The Bucks take on the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks road trip continues. After beating the Hornets in Charlotte, they're now in Atlanta to face the Hawks. In college basketball, the 21st-ranked Wisconsin Badgers take on a rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes in Iowa City. That one starts at noon tomorrow. NFL, Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love was in New Orleans at the Super Bowl and was asked to describe how he thought the Packers season went overall.
You know, I think the main theme of the season for us was just inconsistent. You know, I felt like it was some really good, and it was some just not consistent enough to be able to be one of those top offenses in the league. But, you know, we were able to generate a lot of explosive plays, and I think when we can keep building and keep honing in on all the details and just being that consistent offense like you see some of these offenses do, where they just go out and put up all these points every week and do the same stuff, I think that's where we need to get to.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and rather pleasant today, with highs nearing 30. Small chance of snow moves in overnight tonight, but really no accumulations are expected. Tomorrow, though, light snow continues with less than an inch of accumulation likely. It'll be overcast and cloudy with highs at 30. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Jimmy K from Max Inc. Won't you be mine this Valentine's Day? It's the happy hour of love. Friday, February 14th at the Gamma Ray Bar in Madison. Featuring the flavor that kills. With special guest Mothballs. The show starts at 5, so bring your date and let's rock. The happy hour of love with the flavor that kills. Presented by 92.7 WMDX and Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The John and Gordy Show.
We still think we have a ghost in the building here because the lights keep going on and off.
Yeah, what is that all about? You know, that I thought I saw that ghost. Looks very much like a cleaning guy.
That is our cleaning guy.
Oh, that's our cleaning guy. He feels his responsibility to clean this office, even in the afterlife.
That's his unfinished business.
That's his unfinished business.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome the flavor that kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more viewers than a molting parrot. What do you think?
I like it.
Better than the Husky.
Sure. Okay.
I felt like the Husky was better prepared. I just feel like you came up with the improv style. I feel like you got, it should be every day a new one.
I'm working on it.
Good.
The pressure.
Yeah.
The
pressure.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. He joins us on Fridays to do recombobulating things and some great articles, some great columns in this week's Recombobulation area.
We've had a busy week at
you
the
really
Recombobulation
have.
Area.
Our very own Todd Alba has one.
Mm-hmm. Angela Lang has one.
Yes.
And I have one even this week. I have, you know, it's actually the first column that I have had time to sit down and write in like more than a month.
Is it more than a month?
Because, you know, I've got some other things going on.
There's been a lot happening.
Civic Media political editor at a pretty busy time to be in political media, I must say.
No doubt.
But I had a chance to write a column for this week, and it's called Donald Trump and the Rise of the Pro Wrestling Republicans.
I love that title so much.
So this is kind of like a more of a big picture type of piece that I wrote for this. And it is not necessarily one that I was just like reacting to whatever was in the news cycle and all of that. And I think, you know, when I take a step back and look at the big picture of just like how we got here, right? And I think part of it is part of why I wrote this column is I think we need to those of us in like left of center media or Democrats or in general, I think have to recognize the realignment that took place in the 2024 election. I think it's been building for some time, but I think the realignment that took place that led to Donald Trump's victory is, I think, something that we need to face the reality of if Democrats and have to, you know, understand what they're competing for going forward. So I think kind of my thesis statement with this, in a sense, is that there are kind of two camps of Republicans. There are like the more traditional country club Republicans.
Makes sense.
I'm calling them kind of like George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. This is kind of like the orthodox Republican Party.
Old school GOP.
That we have known for a long time. And I think over the years, Democrats, they know how to run against those types of Republicans. You know, they know how to run against a Mitt Romney. Right.
Sure.
And I think what Donald Trump and the new kind of MAGA Republican wing of the party is what I'm calling the pro wrestling Republicans. And I think it's less beholden to that kind of like old school Republican orthodoxy, at least in messaging, if not in actual governing.
Right.
Because I think in governing, you still see, you know, you saw it in Trump's first term where he just still governed like the same tax cuts for the rich, stack the judiciary with like federal society freaks and all of that. So I think that, you know, the rhetoric doesn't match the reality, but the rhetoric I think is important to recognize here is because I think, you know, when I think about MAGA and Donald Trump and Republicans, kind of the least, the things that bother me the least are kind of like the spectacle and the goofiness that they really embrace. And like, I was at the RNC in Milwaukee and you have Hulk Hogan ripping his shirt and you have a Kid Rock performance and you have Dana White from the UFC introducing Donald Trump. And like that stuff, like it's kind of, you know, annoying or whatever, but it's like the stuff that really bothers me about MAGA Republicans are the policies that they're looking to implement, the cruelty, the corruption, the chaos, all of that. It's not like the spectacle and the weirdness of this. So I think Democrats have to recognize part of it is what Donald Trump and those Republicans did right in that campaign. And that is reach out and get people's attention. Because if they, you know, they're not exactly great at governing, Donald Trump and these MAGA pro wrestling Republicans, but they are very good at getting people's attention. And I think attention in this day and age in political campaigns is everything, because we're in a constant competition for people's attention. And I think it's one of the most valuable commodities that we have. And I think, you know, the way that Kamala Harris and Democrats approach the election is like being very safe. We'll do this CNN interview. Right. We'll do this other one. We'll do this one podcast. And I think we have to readjust to this realignment and recognize the new kind of group of voters that you're competing for. And I think that group of voters is those pro wrestling Republicans in a lot of ways.
I honestly, when I saw that and I was reading about it, I kind of felt like a fool too, because one thing that we kept on talking about last year was how the, and I won't call it the pro wrestling side because that's what we're calling it the Trumpian side of the GOP was fractured so differently than the old school country club type. You're like, well, we have all these individuals too who are saying, you know, all these Republicans, all these judges, all these generals, all these people, all these former Trump voters saying, I'm not going to vote for him. Well, he's fractured the party so deeply and so irreparably. Of course he's going to lose. When in fact, he mollified them. He got them together, and he used communication as a tactic to get them all excited. Even if they didn't like him that much, it was still their side. Because as John Boehner said in 2016, he's like, I'm voting for Trump because he's my candidate, period. There is no decision-making for me. There's nothing I'm weighing on my mind. He's my guy. He's, therefore, I'm voting for him. Spent the next decade making it bigger, exciting, more fun. Then, and we thought, oh, this isn't going to work for them. They're going to hate this. Wrong. I was so wrong.
Tony, on the live stream, and I think this is a really good point, pro wrestling communication, country club policies.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what it is, Tony. You're so right.
The rhetoric. He campaigns as this populist change agent, but still governs as the same old Mitch. He governed more like Mitch McConnell in his first term than any type of like populist Republican that you know, he's kind of purporting to be.
So, Dan, what is the answer then as far as Democrats getting the same amount of attention? Is it Jamie Raskin coming out and ripping his shirt open at the next DNC? I mean, what do we go for then?
I don't think it's necessarily that. And I don't really, I didn't put forth, you know, a clear answer for this. But I think it's just, I think we have to recognize where we're at with it. And I think part of it, too, is that, you know, historically, when there was a high turnout election, Democrats would win. Right. Because they were able to a lot of these kind of like what political science dorks like me call the low propensity voters, people who don't necessarily vote in every presidential election, might not vote in the midterms, might not show up in their city council or school board races and whatnot. Historically, the higher turnout races have favored Democrats. But that has changed now.
Yes.
And that has changed in a way that like in this, you know, most recent election, Donald Trump now has the record for the highest popular vote total in the state of Wisconsin's history, much to my millennial liberal chagrin about Barack Obama in 2008. But I think this is part of what we need to recognize. Donald Trump was able to reach these kind of lower propensity voters, people who might not be as tuned into the political news cycle. And, you know, whether it's like the RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, like, you know, trying to bring people into a bigger tent Republican Party. I think part of it is reaching people. You know, you're going to have to find new Democrats need to find new ways to reach people. And I think, you know, going through the traditional media channels or whatever,
it's not working.
It's not working. No. And I think you see some of this energy from younger members of the party. I think AOC has been pretty successful at this. She's able to get people's attention, whether you agree with her or not on all of this, on a lot of certain things. So I think you have to, I think it is, you know, part of it is a generational divide within the Democratic
Absolutely.
Party in a huge way. And part of it is just understanding that the media environment for really anybody under the age of 45 is very different now, and then just people are just getting
what are you talking about? I'm on the Snapchat.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Tom from Jackson is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Hi. I would add that it's not just pro wrestling. It's really the pro-life people on the right really showed up this time, and I think that's going to continue unless they feel that the Democrats are starting to go more towards the middle and meet them. All the rural counties, I guess through the whole country, went red, and most of them are pro-life. And even with Kamala's strong abortion stand, I think that proved to be a loser for the Dems, because fewer women voted this time than they did the last election. So I think the Dems need to move to the middle, and I wish the Democrats would start looking at the abortion issue more seriously, because, you know, with over 50 to 60 million babies killed, it's making a difference on the country, and they're just ignoring it to their chagrin or loss.
Appreciate your comment, Tom. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you want to join us, 855-752-4842. I will say that certainly one thing the Republicans have been far better at than Democrats, as you said, Dan, is going on some of these less traditional media outlets like podcasters and influencers. And folks like that, and they've been doing that for a lot longer than I think Democrats even considered talking to a Joe Rogan or someone like that. At the same time now, the White House is kicking out more traditional media to cover the White House, and they're inviting influencers in. Mm-hmm. And as one of the older people, I'm 65, it makes me crazy to think that Tiffany, who gives online reviews about yoga pants, is now going to be commenting on what's happening in the White House.
It's part of the new realignment, though, Jane, is that we have different people getting their political news from very different sources than they used to.
Is Tiffany the best place to be getting your source or to be getting your news?
I don't think so.
Maybe not, but I don't think. But I think the rejection of influencers isn't the way to go, because there are people who influence opinion and thought who come from, have news backgrounds, who find their way on social media. Like, they're not going to get a job on the major networks. They're not going to get a job anchoring the local news. If they can somehow put the news out there in the world, and they're using TikTok and they're using Instagram, they're using all the other, then it's about qualifications versus where do you come from? Because I'm sure there was a time in radio, like, why are you letting these TV news guys in the room? I've been doing radio for this many years. It's about qualifications versus where you come from, I believe, personally.
But the best way to get attention on social media is to be outrageous and horrible.
Well, that's your opinion.
But it is.
You're not wrong.
But that doesn't disqualify the validity of some people on social media as influencers who are bringing news to us. Because there are people out there who are bringing legit news.
855-752-4842. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Just don't know what else to do about it.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Looking to turn your valuables into cash this Valentine's Day? Gordy's Midwest Fine Jewelry and Coins is here for you since 1985. Look for the big green awning on the corner of 4701 Monona Drive. Gordy buys your coins, gold, silver, watches, stamps, silver dollars, and paper currency. They buy, sell, trade, and repair, offering top dollar and paying cash for gold. Stop by today and experience the difference. Gordy's Midwest Fine Jewelry and Coins. Call 608-221-4242.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's four presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has 5 electoral votes, and Maine, which has 4, one electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with 2 congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm discombobulated, it's grounds to be frustrated, I could be so...
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up later on today, Maggie Dawn's show from 2 to 4 p.m. She's going to kick off a brand new segment at 3 o'clock called Ask Maggie.
Oh, boy.
This should be great.
Look out.
Make sure you bring your questions, yeah. Anything from politics to sports and everything in between. Ask Maggie today, kicking off today at 3 p.m. with Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. I will definitely be listening.
And don't be prepared for the truth.
Oh, Maggie's going to tell you what she thinks.
Exactly.
There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Era, also Civic Media's political editor, talking about his column in the Recombobulation Era about what the Republicans did right in order to get the results they did for this election.
Well, we've spent so much time over the past few months dissecting what Democrats may have done wrong.
Right.
But I think that's part of like why I wanted to write this piece is that we didn't really spend enough time talking about what Republicans did right. And I think what in particular that Trump and the Republicans did in this campaign that they did right was to reach out to people who are not necessarily part of the political process. Those low propensity voters. And I think, you know, in Wisconsin, Trump increased his vote share in all 72 counties from 2020 to 2024. Now, you know, part of that is he had the opportunity to kind of run as the outsider, the anti-establishment guy, instead of in 2020 running on his record, which, you know, Americans soundly rejected.
Yes.
But I think painting himself as this anti-establishment type of figure, running against the elites, and then, of course, stacking his cabinet with those very same elites and putting, you know, the
and legislating
men
for the elites
and legislating for the elites. And again, and I think that is part of the opportunity that Democrats and those on the left of center have to have this clear eyed look at what they're up against. And I think it's, you know, nothing is linear. Right. These things don't exactly move in the straight line pattern that, you know, some of us would like to if we're making sense of these things.
Right.
But I think, you know, the way that the Trump campaign was successful with these low propensity voters is something that the Democrats need to pay real attention to.
And that is utilizing, again, these less traditional avenues of communication like podcasters and influencers and things like that. Tony has another comment on the live stream. Younger voters can smell talking points and massaged language from a mile away. If you don't really mean what you're saying, people will swipe on by. I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't agree with I think if we're talking about Donald Trump, then yes, there's some validity to that because he doesn't speak in talking points. He just talks. Other politicians, they all speak in talking points. They all get their memos and say what they're supposed to say. And I think what it comes down to now is whatever he says on his pulpit and whomever he likes, that just trickles down.
And they get a pass.
Exactly. So you can have Donald Trump who will just spray lies for 2 hours, but it has nothing to do with any sort of like constructed idea of what the GOP are talking about. But if he's doing that, but he says, Dan Schaefer, vote for him for Senate in Wisconsin. I love him. And he can do talking points all day. They'd be like, I like Trump, so I like Dan. Mm-hmm. So that's done. I can go get groceries now because I don't have the time to follow politics.
Calvin, you are our resident young person. Do you feel that people your age are savvier about picking up on BS?
Largely, no. I think a lot of my friends, in this day and age, friends might be too strong of a word.
Acquaintances.
They just seem absolutely shut off, disconnected. They do not care at all.
Just don't care.
They just don't care.
Yeah.
So how do we engage those people? Thank you, Kelvin.
Well, I think it sounds a little bit bleak when you hear that, but it's like, I think there's opportunity there. I think there's opportunity there because you have people who are, you know, not engaged with the issues. And I think you have an opportunity to reach people like that. And I think that's where the Democrats should make more of a priority. It shouldn't just be winning over like suburban voters or whatever it might be. You have to get to people who are not necessarily part of the political process, because I think Democrats have a message and policies that better connect with people.
So we need a skateboarder named Biff to opine on politics.
I don't know.
Back to the Future reference?
I'm throwing it. I'm old.
Yeah.
I think there's something that, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned it to you, Dan, but something we need to come to grips with. And what we think in this room doesn't matter. It's the truth. Donald Trump is cool. People, the brand, the look, the everything. There are more people who wore Donald Trump gear in this past election who thought the brand of Donald Trump is cool because he's outsider. He's a rebel. He doesn't care about the establishment.
He's a felon.
They don't care because the people they like in music, in TV, they do wrong things all the time too, and they love them. The Democrats have to find someone who can come across as cool. The problem is these individuals, these young people, a lot of people, they don't realize that there is that cool guy who is a felon and a criminal beyond that. He's also the president of the United States of America now, and they don't see those two different – they don't see those things as one and the same. They see them as two separate things because those kids don't care.
Yeah. So now
they voted for the cool guy, and whatever happens out of that, if they live with their parents, that's beyond them caring.
So reality TV has now become reality.
That became a reality in 2016.
Two of the most popular or most important voices are the host of The Apprentice and the host of Fear Factor from the early 2000s. So yeah. I think, yeah, we are in the reality TV has taken over everything type of era. And I think that Greg's point is a great one because, and this is something I wrote about in my piece too, it's not just a political realignment that we're seeing, it's a cultural one too. And I think that is why, like, I, you know, leaned into the kind of the pro wrestling Republicans piece of this.
Example.
And it's just like the Kid Rock Republicans in a lot of ways. And like, I think that is really changing in a lot of ways.
Are there any cliffs near Radio Park here in Racine? Because I'm going to go throw myself off of one.
Cliff Smith lives down the street. Cliff Bear lives up the road.
Matt from Middleton, I see you on the line. If you can hang out through the news, we'll take you when we come back. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Home before a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recapitulate me. I want you to recapitulate.
a new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. We had a few fires overnight, one at a Madison apartment on East Mifflin. Someone called 911 around 4 p.m. Firefighters say everyone got out safely, but three people will need to find another place to live for the time being. They believe smoking materials sparked that fire. And a home caught fire in Wanakee last night. Nobody was hurt there. That was on Manchester East at about 6 o'clock. The flames were coming off the roof. And there was a pretty sizable fire in Windsor last night when a boiler sparked flames. Nobody was hurt. The air is so dry right now that fires can spark easier and spread faster. That's because we don't have any snow on the ground like we usually do in February. And high winds add to the equation. It was a windy day yesterday. The southern half of the state is still sitting at a moderate fire risk. This weekend is the public test of Madison's election equipment before the primary, February 18th. State law mandates these open tests running up to an election. Staff from the clerk's office will zero out all the equipment, do a faux election, run the numbers to make sure all the machines count correctly, and communicate it correctly, too. They invite anybody skeptical about the process or who just wants to see it for themselves to come watch. I've been to these things before, and often there's not much of an audience. It's possible that changes this time around, after the Madison City Clerk's office didn't count nearly 200 ballots in November. The test of election equipment is tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m. at their location on East Washington Avenue. And good news for the environment and for Madison pizza lovers. You can now recycle your whole pizza box, grease stains and all. Before, you could only recycle parts of it that didn't have leftover food residue. So any part that was stained by grease was out. Here's all you need to do now. Remove all the food from the box, break it down, and put it into your recycling bin. You can find more local stories at WMDXradio.com. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Connor Krieger. Well, the big game is this Sunday, and with that comes funny, maybe outdated, and sometimes horrible commercials. A few brands have already rolled out their commercials, like Pringles, who features Adam Brody, that centers on the fear of running out of Pringles. Michelob Ultra takes us to pickleball, where Willem Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara compete as a team for a glass of Ultra. Catch the commercials and maybe Travis Kelce proposing to Taylor Swift after the Super Bowl. Catch it this Sunday at 5:30 p.m. If you're looking to hit the theaters or stay in, here are a couple movies that are releasing this week. Renner, starring Marcia Gay Harden and Frankie Muniz, is about a computer genius that invents an AI life coach to help him find love. But things change when he accidentally programmed his mother into the code. Kinda Pregnant stars Amy Schumer as Lainey. As her plans to settle down and start a family fall apart, she puts a fake baby bump and tells a lie and accidentally falls for her dream guy. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly sunny and rather pleasant today, with highs nearing 30. Small chance of snow moves in overnight tonight, but really no accumulations are expected. Tomorrow, though, light snow continues with less than an inch of accumulation likely. It'll be overcast and cloudy with highs at 30. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Here are some tips from Dane County Humane Society to keep dogs safe in frigid temperatures. Keep walks short. The lower the temperature, the shorter the time spent outdoors. Remember, paw pads are skin, and they can freeze. Booties can keep a dog's paws from getting cold too quickly. Consider a pup sweater or coat, and find indoor activities to help them burn off energy. Give them mental stimulation like puzzle toys, Kongs with treats inside, hide treats around a room, or train them on a new trick. For more, visit giveshelter.org.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer is here, not only the founder of the Recombobulation Area, but also Civic Media's political editor. And his most recent column in the Recombob Area is about what the Republicans did right in order to help Donald Trump get reelected.
And again, to be clear, it is not what they did right. I'm not saying that I agreed with campaign
but this was. Was a strategy that worked.
But they won.
Yes, this was a strategy that worked by appealing to what you call the pro wrestling group in the Republican Party, as opposed to the country club group, which is the long established elites, Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, those kinds of guys. Got a whole bunch of texts coming in, so we will try to get through some of these. List from Sun Prairie, listing in Madison on WMDX. Please don't underestimate how much our culture has been socialized to defer to white men. Sexual assaults and felonies don't even matter anymore. Yep, I agree with you on that, Liz.
Correct.
Sarah from Green Bay. I think the college-age men who listen to Joe Rogan ran out to the polls for Trump. I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening if their federal aid for school gets cut.
I would also include the college age women who voted as well.
Absolutely.
I know men have their place in this election, but let's not forget he got a lot of new votes from a lot of new sectors.
And a lot of white women.
And a point on that too. When I was reporting my piece last fall in the Fox Valley, I spent some time at UW Oshkosh, and I talked to the editor of the Advanced Titan, the student newspaper there, where I got my start as a journalist back in the day. But I talked to her there, and I was talking about like the politics that people were seeing on campus, and she was talking. I was asking, about like which politicians resonate with younger voters, what have you, what's in people's media diet. And she said it was very different for men and women. She was talking about like the various things that women were accessing, but she said to me, she's like, every young man on campus is watching and listening to Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one. And you saw like a number of college campuses shift pretty significantly to the right in this most recent election. UW Oshkosh a little bit. Trump won a couple awards in UW La Crosse this year.
Right.
Like, and this is part of my point here, is that like some of those, again, college students will fit under the umbrella of these like low propensity voters, people who might not vote in elections outside of a presidential year or what have you. But I think Republicans have been more effective in reaching those voters in recent years. And I think it's, there's this open question of like whether, kind of like Trumpism will survive in the same way beyond Trump himself, like whether this pro wrestling Republican coalition that he's built will be a durable one once he finishes his term or whatever it might be. And I think that's an open question. But I think it's an opportunity for Democrats. They have to see this as an opportunity to reach people differently, because I think, and we were talking about this a little bit during the break, I think Democrats can often be so risk averse that they end up saying nothing.
Yes.
And I think they need to say it with their chest a little bit more often. Stand on business a little bit and just stand on what you believe in. And I think people respond to that kind of like authenticity, that type of like genuine passion for what you want to do. And like these like prepackaged, ultra safe interviews that Democrats are giving over the course of heard them. It's not working.
Yeah, it's not working.
You have to talk like a real person. You have to have normal conversations with people. And I think, when you are ultra safe safe and so risk averse, I think that you can create a situation where Donald Trump seems like a more genuine individual.
Yeah.
Well, he's genuine. All right. Terry from Wausau. To me, it appears this last presidential election, the Democrats committed too many unforced errors. Number one, Biden stepping down too late, which led to number two. The DNC didn't matter because basically the chosen one was Harris. Big turnoff. Number three, not a direct DNC error, but hindsight, if Trump was left alone rather than bringing himself to court, he would have been less relevant because he was all over TV.
Yeah.
And he used that as a platform to campaign, essentially.
All press is good press. And I think, you know, for Republicans, and I think J.D. Vance even said this about, like, the ridiculousness that they brought to the, you know, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats stuff in Ohio. Like, he said that, yeah, maybe it wasn't all true, but it got people talking about the issue that we wanted to be talking
but
about.
That's so
it's reprehensible.
Wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so wrong.
And you're right.
But again, I just don't understand how people of faith who claim to be people of faith can embrace this when they say all of these falsehoods over and over and over again. And even when it's pointed out that these were falsehoods, they're like, yeah, whatever.
Because
I don't care.
You're talking about, because a lot of these, not all of them, but a lot of them have such an allegiance to their spirituality and their religion that you're asking them to not believe in the person they now believe is called by God to be the one who does whatever he's supposed to do. So there's, and it always comes down to abortion. And they're like, well, whoever says they're pro-life, then that's my guy. And that's it. Doesn't matter how terrible they are.
I grew up in an ultra-conservative part of Waukesha County. Yeah. I could go on and on about this
same
topic
here
all day. Like, I think there's so much hypocrisy, and I think there's a lot of parallels right now between the 2024 election and the 2004 election, the only two times the Republicans won the popular vote this century. And I think it is that, you know, the hypocrisy and the religious attitudes towards their party, it's just, they're just cheering for their team. Mm-hmm. It's not about any principles. Like, and again, this gets back to how Trump has remade the Republican Party. Like, you have, like, the so-called free market Republicans backing the guy who wants, like, widespread tariffs and, like, all of this government intervention things. They will make any excuse to the end that is power. Republicans care about power. Democrats care about politics and a lot of other things about it. Republicans only care about one thing, and that's power.
Scott from Madison listening on WMDX. Education is crumbling. Young people can't get good jobs or buy houses, and we wonder why they're not interested. The Democrats are about 40 years too late.
Well, that's a good point.
And that's the thing. You made the point before about messaging. The Democrats are 40 years too late on radio and on TV. The hateful Republican message that comes to us has been coming at us for 40, almost 50 years. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, so we're behind on so many things.
855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton, you have been so patient, Matt. Thank you so much for hanging on. What did you want to say?
Hey, guys, I think you're missing out on the Elon Musk effect. The guy's got thousands of young people who worship the guy. He offered $1 million for people to vote. He came in kind of late on the campaign. And on Joe Rogan, he said that it was existential for America. They had to vote. The debt would kill America. There'd be nothing left. And I think he definitely had a big impact on it. And as far as Joe Rogan and Dana White, I boycott the UFC because I used to be a fan. But Trump at one of his casinos or something was the first one back in the 90s to give the UFC a place to have a fight. So they've been close for a while now. So Trump is embedded in that world.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an uphill battle for Democrats. And I hope to God we can do something because we're lost if we don't.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate it. Calvin.
Well, I just wanted to agree with Matt about boycotting the UFC. I also was a big fan, and I guess I'm not even a conscious boycott of, like, I'm going to send them a message. It's just, I've been completely turned off by it. It's just,
doesn't appeal to you anymore.
Yeah. Like, seeing Trump there just makes me want to turn it off.
Yeah. I mean, that level of God worship, demagoguery. And you're right, Matt, we shouldn't count Elon out of the discussion.
Out of the equation.
It's a huge part of it.
Very much a part of it.
Very much a part of it. But something that I spoke to Jane about earlier is that Elon's so much in the news right now. He's getting so much hate for the things he's doing that Trump really isn't getting any sort of – it's all about Elon and what he's doing in the federal government. And, and we're not having the bigger conversation. Who put him there in the first place?
Who's really responsible?
Donald Trump. So, yes, absolutely right, Matt. But we also have to – keep talking about Donald Trump, which we of course will do. We're not going to stop one day. But the going back to the dogs and the cats thing is, I had to tell friends, like, when you make fun of him on social media doing that, you're still putting that message out there, and people,
you're still keeping him forward.
And it's the one thing they love more than anything. They don't care. They want the reaction. And if you're upset at it, that fuels their fire even more. They love when you're upset at their words. So it's like, it's hard to find that balance of ignore them, but also, yeah, just don't pour gasoline on their fire because they love watching it burn.
And they love to have the arguments on their terms.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big part of it too, is because they set the agenda. And I think they so often put Democrats and left center media in this position to just react.
Yep.
And it's just like, I think at some point part of this that Democrats need to acknowledge is just that you kind of need to, you know, reverse the stream there and not always be the party that is reacting to what Trump does. You have to put Republicans on defense a little bit sometimes too. And, you know, the way to do that is a little bit unclear right now.
Right.
But I think that has to be part of the conversation about like what to do going forward.
Well, all I can say is it was really painful watching Chuck Schumer earlier this week outside of the Treasury Department, jumping up and down saying, "We will win, we will win." All respect to Chuck Schumer and some of the old guard. It's time, guys. You got to go.
Yeah,
totally.
You have to go.
And this notion, I can't remember which Democratic senator said it, but like he was like, "We're staying up all night to protest." They're like, "I don't care. You're going to lose."
Well, they talked all night, and Russ voted through, and he's been confirmed as to head the OMB.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all this useless performative stuff.
Right. And like Jon Stewart was riffing on this when he hosted The Daily Show on Monday night. He was just like, you know, Chuck Schumer peering over his readers and delivering a statement is just not cutting it anymore. Like that can't be the reaction to what Trump and Vance and Elon and all of these guys are doing. Like it's just this asymmetric warfare of what's going on, and it's just not working. They have to change course.
No.
And change tactics.
And I heard, you know, the new DNC chair that got elected over Ben Wickler last week, and he gave this interview, absolutely a mistake. And he gave this interview on MSNBC, and he's just like, "Oh, we have to combat misinformation and we have to do this and that and the other thing." And it's just like, no, you have to do things differently. You have to get people's attention. You have to take a new approach. It just sounds like more of the same. And I made the joke after they elected Ken Martin as the DNC chair. I put up the Veep line that's continuity with change.
That's great.
I will say it, and people will be mad at me, and it's not something I like saying. Democrats got to grow a spine.
Yeah. And as you said, be willing to go to scary places and take a stand on things.
And take a risk.
And take
make
a
mistakes.
Risk. And
do all these different things. You can't do things the way you've been doing them.
It's not
you
working.
You have to change.
It's not working. Yeah. All right. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Under the Sea edition. And by the way, thank you, Jeff. Cliffside Park in Caledonia is available. I'll be checking that out after the show, Jeff. Really appreciate that. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. If you got the app, we're global, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
Shout out Chris Middleton.
This time. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Burlow Mattress is more than just another mattress store. They're building better sleep for Dane County with handcrafted mattresses made to order right in Madison. And since they live there too, they make every dollar spent matter, actively partnering to benefit the community. You may even see Maddie the Mattress mascot bouncing with joy around town. In this new year, get what you deserve. A mattress that supports your dreams. American made, locally crafted.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's four presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has five electoral votes, and Maine, which has four, one electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with two congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thank you so much, everybody, for checking in today. Had all kinds of texts and comments on the live stream. Very, very much appreciated. And again, if you ever want to join us, 855-752-4842. Coming up on Monday, Beyond the Cheese.
Oh, boy.
Midwest Sad. I just love that so much. Midwest Sad. Sarah is going to be joining us coming up on Monday as we look at a business in Wisconsin that is not involved with dairy.
Nice.
Hence the name. Beyond the Cheese.
It's back, baby.
It's back, baby. Also on Monday, Mondays with Mr. Global, Matt Randolph will be joining us at 10:33. He is an oil and gas industry expert. This is actually a thing. It is a titled thing that you have to earn.
Yes.
He is a recognized oil and gas industry expert. He has enough facts and knowledge and experience to pretty much annoy everyone.
There it is.
Which is one of the reasons why we like him so much. So Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, joining us on Monday coming up at 10:33. Right now, though, it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, we try to stay away from politics because otherwise that would be our thing every single day.
Yeah.
This is our audio sorbet segment. Like little palate cleanser. We'll try to keep it a little bit lighter. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. This from Oddity Central by Spooky gets the byline. Headline reads, mermaid performer has her head swallowed by giant aquarium fish during show.
I'm laughing at the byline. I'm not laughing at the situation.
We're going to put the video in the show notes because there is accompanying video to this. And my husband pointed this out to me earlier in the week. A viral video shot at an underwater world in China shows a young mermaid performer getting attacked by a giant aquarium fish during the live show. A very popular tourist attraction recently got a lot of criticism for trying to cover up the incident. This woman, dressed like a mermaid, is swimming around with this big tank, in this big tank with lots of fish in it.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through the mermaid show, the young Russian woman, known as Masha, gets her head swallowed by a huge sturgeon that had crept up behind her. Fortunately, the 22-year-old woman maintained her composure, managed to get away and get to the surface. The show did have to be stopped for an hour and a half. The underwater world offered her $100 for moral damages and asked her not to talk about it. That would have gone well, except for one of the people who was there filmed the entire thing and then put it out on social media, where it went viral. Early reports described the fish as a type of shark, but it's been clarified that the giant fish is actually a sturgeon, a toothless fish that rarely attacks humans. Following the backlash after the video went out, this underwater world in China came out with a statement saying the young woman had not been injured and the aquarium was operating according to its usual schedule. The underwater mermaid, however, posted at least one photo showing bruising on her face. She also suffered injuries to her face, head, and neck, and again offered $100 compensation after being swallowed by a sturgeon.
I think the only this shouldn't be a thing, well, there's two of them. One, he met, like I said, it was down for an hour and a half. Could you imagine being the next performer and be like, all right, now you go on and be like, I'm sorry, you want me to do what?
Yeah, you're next.
For a possible extra $100, that's the other. $100?
Yeah.
Come on.
You could have coughed up a little bit more than that. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next. Then Todd Alba from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4. Dom Salvia, Jim Santel, going to be hosting today for Dom Salvia. If you are not aware, Jim Santel is a lawyer, and he has a great show on Saturdays called Amicus, a Law Review.
And he'll be on next Wednesday, too.
Yep. So Jim will be joining us. It's a great show tomorrow morning all across the network from 9 to 11. And then, of course, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. And then we start all over again on Monday. You are going to be kicking off things with Dr. Kristen Lierley Monday morning.
That's right. 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Doc in the Bock. Bock in the
Bock in the Dock.
Bock, I can't remember.
Bock in the Dock. And then Earl Ingram right before us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you had the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Brandi Grayson, the host of the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. I am the hostess with the mostest with the local politics and the local tea. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
The John and Gordy Show.
Now let's talk about the airplane crash, all right? Mm. They had air traffic controllers who were short people. They weren't short in like size people.
4 foot ten.
They were short employees.
They couldn't see the screen.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Demonstrations outside the Department of Education today in Washington, D.C. as the Trump administration pledges to dismantle the agency.
Acting Secretary for a meeting.
More than two dozen Democrats were denied access to the building after demanding talks. The Trump administration is moving to lay off the majority of staff from USAID. That's the agency that provides billions in aid and medical assistance to developing countries. Out of the 14,000-person staff, some 300 will remain. Three more hostages are expected to be released tomorrow by Hamas in the next phase of the Gaza ceasefire deal. The Israeli Hostage Families Forum confirming the names of the three hostages. No Americans on the list. It is the first release of captives since President Trump suggested a U.S.-led redevelopment plan of nearly 2 million Palestinians from Gaza. 2 months of strong job growth gave way to January slowdown. The monthly labor numbers show 143,000 jobs added in January. This is ABC News.